again for Yululu. Welcome to the program, Beagle at Night with me, RB. And that, of course, was Mrs. Mills. And let's see, all the usual things in all the usual places. Plus, since I was with you last week, we had an earthquake.
Paper kisses at the end of each letter that I send. Make it easy to pretend we're really not apart. Paper kisses send a show what you really want to know, that I love and need you so with all of my loving heart. Here's these lips you see beside my name, for with them I'm sending love that's tender and unending. Paper kisses to can share anytime and anywhere. Paper kisses say I care with all of my loving heart. Kiss these lips you see beside my name, for with them I'm sending love that's tender and unending. Paper kisses to can share anytime and anywhere. Paper kisses say I care with all of my loving heart. Paper kisses to can share anytime and anywhere. Paper kisses say I care with all of my loving heart. Paper kisses to can share anytime and anywhere. Paper kisses say I care.
Izumu Yukimura and paper kisses. Hope they're not as painful as paper cuts. So very good morning to you. Welcome to the program. And yes, indeed, since I was with you last, we have had an earthquake. Believe it or not, we had two. It centered in New Jersey, and apparently it was 4.8 on the Richter scale. And it was felt up and down the East Coast, all the way up to Maine and way down to Virginia and across and stuff. And the first shock, I was actually in the shower when it happened, and I thought it was just my new effervescent body wash doing a better job than I thought it was going to do. I felt the earth move, literally, and then I thought, well, no, that can't be it. And then in the evening, we were sitting downstairs, Sir Paul McCartney and I, on the couch about 6 o'clock, and we had another quake come through, not as strong as the first one, but the couch sort of, well, everything vibrated for about 2 or 3 seconds and then stopped. I'm not sure if we had another one early the following morning or not, but rumour has it we did, but I was fast abed, so did not hear that. Nobody was hurt, which was good, and I haven't heard of any damage, which is even as good, and all in all, it could have been a lot worse. I don't think I would like to have been in one of those skyscrapers in Manhattan, quite frankly. I was very pleased that I was sitting on the ground floor, or as we call it here, the first floor, and I think that's as high as I really want to go. But yeah, earthquake, who'd have believed it? And apart from that, it's been a pretty quiet week. I saw a scoop, this thing about Prince Andrew, and something on Netflix called Ripley, which has been really good. If you haven't seen it and you can get it, it is worth it. It's the telling casting of Thomas Ripley as Matt Damon did it in Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow, I think it was, many moons ago. But this is, in a lot of ways, a lot better, because I think it's more true to the original story. A couple of things with it could have been, you know, they're so minor that I'm not even going to mention them, but sort of comes in 8 installments, and it was really worth it. So if you have access to Netflix, check out Ripley. Providing the vocals, and of course Carol Gubbins and the Savoy Hotel Orpheans from 1937, and that was in the Still of the Night. And I think, wasn't there George Mellegrino in there as well? I think he was. All right, where are we? We're at just 10.5 minutes into the program, so it means it's time for our first usual thing, which is Bing Crosby. This morning I've got 3 of his most famous songs, which I thought we would all enjoy. So all I have to do to start it off is to say the 2 magic words: Bing, sing.
Samantha and my love will never die. Remember Samantha, I'm a one girl guy. Together Samantha, we could ride a star and ride it high. Remember Samantha, I'm a one-girl guy. And if some distant day you decided to say, get along, go away, goodbye, remember Samantha, I'm a one-girl guy. Would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long funny ears, kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought, and though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. New kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys aren't in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star. Thank you.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay.
Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
Zippity-doo-dah,
zippity-doo-dah, zippity-doo-dah,
zippity-doo-dah. Well, bless his little cottonous hearts, Bing Crosby and Zippity-doo-dah. Before that, we had Swingin' on a Star and I Love You, Samantha. And we'll have some more songs from Bing Crosby around about the same time next week, all being well. Now, I do hope you can hear me okay. As regular listeners will know, I'm having a few problems with my hearing at the moment and seems particularly bad today. So I keep playing around with the volume controls here, looking at everything on the screen, and it seems to be fine. Problem is that I can't hear very much of it, so I'm sort of going by sight more than hearing at the moment, but hopefully it's okay. Time now to go over to Germany and Holger's house. Guten Morgen, Holger und Christine. Because Christine and Holger, they're a partnership, you know. And they listen to the program, and Holger each week sends through songs that he thinks that we will like. And he's sent a song this week from Gerd Bircher. It's from 1962, and if you're not familiar with this singer, he really is great. And his version of Jambalaya was really top-notch. But here he is, according to Holger, with a song that is called For Gabby, I Do Everything.
Schau im Städtchen nicht mehr nach den Mädchen. Für Gabi tu ich alles. Das wird euch neu sein, ich kann plötzlich treu sein. Für Gabi tu ich alles. Schön war das Wandern von einer zur anderen. Doch tausendmal so schön ist es bei Gabi, bei meiner Gabi. Ihr solltet Gabi mal sehen, dann würdet ihr mich verstehen. Ich helf seit Wochen ihr täglich beim Kochen. Für Gabi tu ich alles. Ich trag auch munter den Mülleimer runter. Für Gabi tu ich alles. Schön war das Wandern von einer zur anderen. Doch tausendmal so schön ist es bei Gabi, bei meiner Gabi. Ihr solltet Gabi mal sehen, dann würdet ihr mich verstehen. Einmal da bringe ich ihr goldene Ringe. Für Gabi tu ich alles. Dann will ich's wagen, ganz laut ja zu sagen. Für Gabi tu ich alles. Schön war das Wandern von einer zur anderen. Doch tausendmal so schön ist es bei Gabi, bei meiner Gabi. Ihr solltet Gabi mal sehen, dann würdet ihr mich verstehen.
Very nice too. Gert Bircher from 1962 and for Gabi to Ixt Olas. And he was born in 1936, was Gert, and actually started out doing apprenticeship as a gardener, would you believe? And then, of course, he was discovered by music producer Werner Müller. Got him a record deal with Decca, and the rest, as they say, was history. I'll be back. Adieu, farewell, goodbye. I'm looking for you in every way. Rockahula, baby, you name it, Gert did it. And my thanks to Holger for sending us that song this week. Another great one's Holger, and that's going to go up in the Holger Hall of Fame, which is a little playlist that I have here on my computer. I'm going to play nothing but Holger records one day of that, I guarantee. We'll have some more music from Holger around about the same time next week. And right now, as I always say, Holger, time to go up the stairs to the land of Bedfordshire.
Angel Radio, old-fashioned quality.
This is Al Bowley right now, and the Rhythm Boys, the Radio Rhythm Boys, and Honeymoon Lane. Been since I was with you last. As I mentioned earlier on, we had the earthquake. Apart from that, not much going on, quite frankly. But this week is going to be a little bit busier for me, and got lots of appointments and stuff like that. So I don't get to put my feet up quite as much as I would like to, but we'll get there at the end of the day. We always do. But hopefully you had a good week and a safe week. I know that May did, who lives in Cuddam, because part of her week week, she spent compiling Beagle's Big Three, and that'll be coming up right after Sammy Davis Jr.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high-flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you, you think someday she'll come to you. Better forget her, her with her nose in the air. She has you dancing on a string. Break it and she won't care. Won't you take this advice? I hand you like a brother. Or are you not seeing things too clear? Are you too much in love to hear? Is it all going in one ear and out the other? Better forget her, her with her nose in the air. She has you dancing on a string. Break it and she won't care. Won't you take this advice? I hand you like a brother. Are you not seeing things too clear? Are you too much in love to hear? Is it all going in one ear and out the other?
Hey there, from Sammy Davis Jr. and the Cy Oliver Orchestra. So very good morning to May, who lives in Cuddam. She says you may actually know Cuddam, considering you lived in Green Street Green. Yes, May, I know Cuddam very well. I had some very good friends live up in Cuddam. And, of course, the Blacksmith's pub up there as well. Used to enjoy cricket there and summer afternoons out the back there, which was always fun. And of course, as we used to call them, May the Do's, round the Elton Hall, which is just at the back. I think it was Hazelwood Avenue, something like that. Anyway, at the back there, as you will know, there was Elton Hall, and every so often they would put on an evening of music and dancing and stuff, which is always a lot of fun. May, yeah, I know the area very well. May has been very busy compiling, she says, a list of her three favourite Elsie Carlisle songs. She says, because you've been going on about Elsie Carlisle of late, which is true, I have. And she said, and I thought I would give you my three favourite songs of the great Elsie. So, May, with thanks for that, let's start off with He Wooed Her, He Wooed Her, and I suspect He Wooed Her.
In his 20s, she was a girl in her teens. The time it was when there was spring in the air, and everyone knows what that means. Without any doubt, he decided that she was the one in his life. So he knelt on his right knee and twisted his left and asked her if she'd be his wife. So he wooed her and wooed her and wooed her. She would couldn't say yes there and then. 'Cause her mother had said she was much too young, so he wooed her and wooed her again. He was a lad in his 30s, she in her 23rd year. He still loved the girl, but she still answered no, so he dropped a strong silent tear. And when he was passing his 40s, she said, I want you for my own. But it would break mother's heart now if we were to wed, as she'd hate to be left all alone. So he wooed her and wooed her and wooed her. She wouldn't say yes there and then, 'cause her mother had said she was much too young. So he wooed her and wooed her again. He was a lad in his 60s. She was about 53. And he was still crazy to wed, but her ma still warbled the Isle of Capri. When he was grown to his 80s, he told her that he'd done his best. And although he'd been faithful for 69 years, he was only a man like the rest. So he wooed her and wooed her and wooed her. She wouldn't say yes there and then, 'cause her mother had said she was much too young. So he wooed her and wooed her again. He was 120, and she about 104. And he had entirely given up hope, till her ma went to marry once more. At last the girl said she would wed him, and though it may sound very weird, the poor stork had waited for so many years that he flew down the flue with a beard. Still he wooed her and wooed her and wooed her. The wooing had gone to his brain, and he had to lay off for a year or two before he could woo her again.
The minute he becomes my boy, guiding hand will show him how. I bet he'll rise to the bait I produce. He'll go the limit, there'll be no excuse. If he's got manhood, he'll show it to me. He's my secret passion.
Hello, Elsie. How did you get on this side of the wreck on?
I came from the hole in the label.
Oh, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Good. Let's do nothing together.
Well, what do you suggest?
Can't you hear the music? Won't you take a chance? Put your arms around me, let's dance.
I never cared for dancing till you came along. Everyone I danced with seemed wrong. Just one more before we say goodnight. Before we say goodnight, one more.
Just one more before we fade away to end a perfect day. One more. One more dance, my dear. Very soon I shan't be here. Just one more before we say goodnight. Let's make it just one more. Wonderful. Lovely. Gorgeous.
What are you referring?
You.
You don't mean that.
I do.
Oh, you haven't seen me in the morning.
Oh, may I?
Oh, Mr. Lupino.
Please, oh, please don't leave me. Now I've found romance. Don't let's waste a moment, let's dance.
I just live for dancing, dance the whole night through. I'd go on forever with you.
Oh, just one more before we say goodnight.
Say, a most select crowd here this evening, don't you think, Stan?
Oh, very golden green.
Oh, and look at that woman over there. Oh, she has an awful ladder in her stocking.
Yes, I think they're on their last leg. I say, Elsie, what happened to that boy I saw you flirting with on top of Dover Cliff?
Oh, him. I threw him over.
Good. I love that curl on the back of your neck.
Do you?
Yes. May I kiss it?
Oh, no.
Ah, yes.
Oh, no.
Ah, yes.
Oh, no.
I shall.
You have.
Very soon I shan't be here.
No. 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 Oh.
All right, quite enough of that. Elsie Carlisle, Just One More. And before that, we had He's My Secret Passion. And we started off with He Wooed Her and Wooed Her and Wooed Her. And those three songs were selected by May, who lives in Cuddam in Kent. And May, thank you very much for that. I really enjoyed those three songs immensely. And I do hope they still have the Doos round at Elton Hall. Do please email me and let me go. I know I would love to come to another one at some point in the future. And if you would like to do what May did, which is basically send through an artist that you would like to hear three songs of in Beagle's Big Three, you can do it. Email me, roy@angelradio.co.uk, and roybeagley@angelradio.uk. If you want three specific songs, please do mention it, and I'll be very happy to play them exactly as May did. And we have nothing lined up in the future, so first one in will be doing next week's Beagle's Big Three. It's as simple as that. May, again, my thanks to you.
Angel keeps you 1, 2, 3 jumps ahead. Stick with us, you'll be well fed with happy music and a smile.
Golden oldies all the while.
Keep tuned and follow suit. Let Angel bring a brighter future. Angel Radio, it's the one for me.
Time now for Tell Me a Story, and this week it is Edward R. Murrow, and he's going to be telling the story of Harding as president after 6 months, after 1 year, after 18 months, and then after 26 months.
The White House is a kind of alchemist. There, little men have grown great, and great men have become giants. Warren Harding entered armed with the love and devotion of an adoring public. But the White House took this mediocre man, found his weaknesses, overwhelmed him, and broke him. His ordeal, which lasted 27 months, transformed a full-throated optimist into a faltering cynic. Listen to the process as it took place. Harding, just before his inauguration.
I like to go out to the country and bloviate. What is the greatest thing in life? Happiness. And there is more happiness in the American village than any place on earth.
The president, 6 months later.
You know, before I was elected, I thought the chief pleasure of being president would be to give honors and office to my old friends. But you know, you can't do that when you are president. You have to get the best man.
Harding, after 1 year.
The White House is a prison. I can't get away from men who dog my footsteps. I'm in jail.
Harding, after 18 months.
I am a man of limited talents from a small town. I don't seem to grasp the fact that I'm president.
After 26 months.
In this job, I'm not worried about my enemies. It's my friends who are giving me trouble.
On July 24th, 1923, the late afternoon papers showed that Rogers Hornsby was leading the National League with 399, and that Anaconda Copper had closed at 42 and a quarter. The president was resting comfortably at the Palace Hotel in San Francisco after an attack of indigestion, and Calvin Coolidge, in the most anonymous job in the world, was fishing in Vermont. At 7:30, Harding's secretary, George Christian, was standing before a large audience in Los Angeles, reading the speech the president had been scheduled to make that night.
The president continues. I am a confirmed optimist as to the growth of the spirit of brotherhood. We do rise to heights at times when we look for the good rather than the evil in others. Ladies and gentlemen, you must excuse President Harding. The president is dead.
In the East, the radio stations and theaters had been closed down for hours. As the bell of the Congregational Church in Plymouth, Vermont, tolls the hour, an oil lamp flickers on in the small white cottage of John Coolidge, a justice of the peace. While most of the nation sleeps, eight people witness the inauguration of the 28th president.
Raise your right hand. Do you, Calvin Coolidge, solemnly swear?
I, Calvin Coolidge, do solemnly swear
that you will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute
the office. We awoke the next morning to read the black headlines and plunge into national grief. Bishop Manning of New York seemed to speak for the nation.
Our beloved president is dead. If I could write one sentence upon his monument, it would be this. He taught us the power of brotherliness. May God ever give to us leaders as faithful, as wise, as noble in spirit as the one whom we now mourn.
But slowly the wheels of our democracy began to reveal what Harding had discovered in his last 2 months in office.
This committee intends to pursue further the story of Teapot Dome.
In his desire to be loved, Harding had experimented in government by friendship, and his friends had robbed him of his name and destroyed all will except the one to die. Listen now to Senator Thomas Walsh of Montana as he plodded his way through the polluted oil of the Teapot Dome scandal.
Mr. Fall, your reason for not calling for bids on these oil fields was what?
business, purely. I knew I could get a better price without calling for bids.
That's Albert B. Fall. Harding liked him for his stories about the Southwest, wanted to appoint him to the Supreme Court.
Mr. Fall, what about your relations with Mr. Sinclair and Mr. Doheny? Did you ever receive any compensation for the oil leases at Teapot Dome or Elks Hill?
I never suggested any compensation, and I received none.
And what about your new ranch in New Mexico and the $100,000?
The gentleman from whom I obtained it was the Honorable Edward B. McLean of Washington, and it was a loan. I never approached E.L. Doheny or H.F. Sinclair.
But Senator Walsh plodded on. After months of questioning, he got McLean to admit that the $100,000 did not come from him. The climax of the investigation came when oil man Doheny, who made millions out of the lease, returned to testify.
I regret that when I was before your committee before, I did not tell you what I am now telling you. I wish to inform the committee that on the 30th day of November, 1921, I loaned to Albert B. Fall $100,000 to purchase a ranch in New Mexico.
How did you transmit the money to him? Remember, you're under oath.
In a satchel.
Who acted as messenger?
My son.
Mr. Doheny, you're a man of large affairs and big business transactions. Was a satchel not an extraordinary way of remitting money to Mr. Fall?
I have remitted more than $1 million in that way in the last 5 years. You must realize, Senator, that the amount of money I was loaning my old friend was no more than $25 or $50 to the average man.
And you don't think there was any impropriety in loaning money to an officer of the government with whom you'd had large business transactions?
No, there is nothing.
Mr. Doheny,
just a minute, Senator. There is nothing extraordinary about me. I am just an ordinary, old-time, impulsive, irresponsible, improvident sort of a prospector.
Fall's final appearance before the committee was that of a tottering, pitiful old man, unable to look his former Senate colleague in the eye.
I decline.
A little louder.
On advice of counsel, to answer any more questions on the ground that it may incriminate me.
Fall went to the penitentiary eventually. Sinclair served 2 sentences for contempt of court. Doheny was indicted, but eventually acquitted. Doherty, the Attorney General, resigned, stood trial, and thanks to 2 hung juries, was technically acquitted. Charles Forbes, Harding's court jester in charge of Veterans Affairs, went to Leavenworth after squandering $200 million of the taxpayers' money. Such was the legacy that Harding passed on to Calvin Coolidge. Fortunately for the nation, Charles Evans Hughes and Herbert Hoover agreed to stay on in the cabinet.
And it all ended happily ever after. There you go. Edward R. Murrow on Harding as president this week's Tell Me a Story. And we'll have another story around about the same time next week. Time to get the time now. Hold on a minute. Let me just dial the phone. Here we go.
At the third stroke, the time on Angel Radio will be about 1947.
Thank you.
way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the million, so they have to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to sell their quota, and the way things are, I guess they never will. They've got a million tons of coffee in Brazil.
No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planters down in Santa all say no, no, no.
A politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill.
They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Blues is agitate.
Ajouté from 1962, Nat King Cole with the George Shearing Quintet, and before that from 1947, The Coffee Song with Edmundo Ross and his Rumba Band, and somebody just very kindly bought me a cup of coffee. How sweet, thank you so much, Mary. I'm in a different studio this week. Usually I'm just locked in the studio on my own, but this week I moved because we're doing some work in the old place. I'll be back there next week. So my thanks to the owners of the studio and to Mary and the coffee. We'll be having a little bit of Posh coming up after the Jesters.
Casey would waltz with a strawberry blonde and the band played on. He'd glide across the floor with the girl he adored and the band played on. But his brain was so loaded it nearly exploded. The poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd near leave the girl with the strawberry curls and the band played on. Matt Casey formed a social club that beat the town for style, and hired for a meeting place a hall. When payday came around each week, they greased the floor with wax and danced with noise and vigor at the ball. Each Saturday you'd see them dressed up in Sunday clothes. Each lad would have his sweetheart by his side. When Casey led the first grand march, they all would fall in line behind the man who was their joy and pride. Or Casey would waltz with a strawberry blonde and the band played on. He'd glide across the floor with the girl he adored and the band played on. But his brain was so loaded it nearly exploded. The poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd nearly leave the girl with the strawberry curls and the band played on. Casey would waltz with the strawberry blonde and the band played on. He'd glide across the floor with the girl he adored and the band played on. But his brain was so loaded it nearly exploded. The poor girl would shake with alarm. He'd nearly leave the girl with the strawberry curls and the band played on.
To the Jesters and the band played on. You're listening to Beagley at Night here on Angel Radio with me, RB, coming to you from Danbury, Connecticut in the United States. We are on FM in Havant and Gosport and Portsmouth, I believe, and any other local places to those. We're also on various DAB multiplexes and, of course, on the internet. And to find out the latest listening pleasure via DAB and the internet, you can go to the website at angelradio.co.uk and get all the details there. Right now it's time for a little bit of Posh, and this morning we have some poetry, two poems in fact, from D.H. Lawrence. The second poem is Snake, and that will be read by Stephen Murray. The first poem is Piano, read by Christopher Horsall.
Softly in the dusk, a woman is singing to me, taking me back down the vista of years, till I see a child sitting under the piano in the boom of the tingling strings, and pressing the small, poised feet of a mother who smiles as she sings. In spite of myself, the insidious mastery of song betrays me back, till the heart of me weeps to belong to the old Sunday evenings at home, with winter outside, and hymns in the cozy parlour, the tinkling piano our guide. So now it is vain for the singer to burst into clamor with the great black piano appassionato. The glamour of childish days is upon me. My manhood is cast down in the flood of remembrance. I weep like a child for the past.
A snake came to my water trough on a hot, hot day, and I in pajamas for the heat, to drink there. In the deep, strange-scented shade of the great dark carob tree, I came down the steps with my pitcher and must wait, must stand and wait, for there he was at the trough before me. He reached down from a fissure in the earth wall in the gloom and trailed his yellow-brown slackness soft-bellied down over the edge of the stone trough and rested his throat upon the stone bottom. And where the water had dripped from the tap, in a small clearness, he sipped with his straight mouth, softly drank through his straight gums into his slack, long body, silently. Someone was before me at my water trough, and I, like a second comer, waiting. He lifted his head from his drinking, as cattle do, and looked at me vaguely, as drinking cattle do, and flickered his two forked tongue from his lips, and mused a moment, and stooped and drank a little more, being earth-brown, earth-golden from the burning bowels of the earth, on the day of Sicilian July, with Etna smoking. The voice of my education said to me, he must be killed, for in Sicily the black, black snakes are innocent, the gold are venomous. And voices in me said, if you were a man, you would take a stick and break him now and finish him off. But must I confess how I liked him? How glad I was he had come like a guest in quiet to drink at my water trough and depart peaceful, pacified, and thankless into the burning bowels of this earth. Was it cowardice that I dared not kill him? Was it perversity that I longed to talk to him? Was it humility to feel so honored? I felt so honored. And yet those voices, if you were not afraid, you would kill him. And truly I was afraid. I was most afraid. But even so, honored still more, that he should seek my hospitality from out the dark door of the secret earth. He drank enough and lifted his head dreamily, as one who has drunken, and flickered his tongue like a forked knight on the air, so black, seeming to lick his lips, and looked around like a god, unseeing, into the air, and slowly turned his head, and slowly, very slowly, as if thrice a dream, proceeded to draw his slow length, curving round, and climb again the broken bank of my wall face. And as he put his head into that dreadful hole, and as he slowly drew up, snake-easing his shoulders, and entered farther, a sort of horror, a sort of protest against his withdrawing into that horrid black hole, deliberately going into the blackness, and slowly drawing himself after, overcame me now his back was turned. I looked round, I put down my pitcher. I picked up a clumsy log and threw it at the water trough with a clatter. I think it did not hit him. But suddenly that part of him that was left behind, convulsed in undignified haste, writhed like lightning and was gone into the black hole, the earth-lipped fissure in the wall front, at which, in the intense, still noon, I stared with fascination. And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education. And I thought of the albatross. and I wished he would come back, my snake. For he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld, now due to be crowned again. And so I missed my chance with one of the lords of life. And I have something to expiate. A pettiness.
Stephen Murray reading D.H. Lawrence's Snake. And before that, Christopher Horsall reading Lawrence's Piano. A little bit of posh for this week, and we'll have another little bit of posh around about the same time next week, all being well. Right now, it's time for Al Jolson's and Saul Chaplin's anniversary song, and here to sing it, Dinah Shore.
We danced on the night we were wed. We vowed our true love, though a word wasn't said. The world was in blue. There were stars in the sky, except for the few that were there in your eyes. Dears, I held you so close in my arms. Angels were singing a hymn to your charms. Two hearts gently beating were murmuring low, my darling, I love you so. To fade into blossoming dawn, the sun shone anew, but the dance lingered on. Could we but relive that sweet moment sublime, we'd find singing a hymn to your charms. Two hearts gently beating were murmuring low, my darling, I love you so.
People recorded that song, it's unbelievable. And that was Dinah Shore, and also their playing was the orchestra conducted by Morris Stoloff. And I think although Jolson and Chaplin wrote that version, I think it actually goes back a little bit further, the song, under another name. I vaguely seem to recall it was a Romanian waltz or something like that. Well, what do I know? The answer is not a lot. You're listening to Beagle at Night. Right now it's time for Doris Day with Day at Night. And this week, not one, not two, not even three, but four fine songs.
Tell me why nights are lonesome. tell me why days are blue. Tell me why all the sunshine comes just at one time when I'm with you. Why do I hate to go, dear, and hate to say goodbye? Now somehow it's always so. And if you know, dear, please tell me why.
Disappeared from sight, and there's no moon at all.
Now don't you make a sound, it's a dike. Even Fido is afraid to bark. What the perfect chance to park, and there's no moon at all. Should we want atmosphere for inspiration, dear? One kiss will make it clear that tonight is right, and bright moonlight might interfere. No moon at all up above. This is nothing like they told us of. Just to think we fell in love and there's no moon at all. No moon at all. With a song in my heart, I behold your adorable face. Just a song at the start, and it soon is a hymn to your grace. When the music swells, I'm touching your hand. It tells that you're standing near, and at the sound of your voice, heaven opens its portals to me. Can I help but rejoice that a song such as ours came to be? But I always knew I would live life through with a song in my heart for you. Heaven opens its portals to me. Can I help but rejoice that a song such as ours came to be? But I always knew I would live life through with a song in my heart.
Finish with a song in my heart. We also had in the middle there No Moon at All, and we started off with Tell Me. Three songs from Doris Day. Did I say four songs? Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. A million times I've asked you, and then I ask you over again. you only answer perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind up, we'll never get started. And I don't want to wind up being parted, broken hearted. So if you really love me, say yes. But if you don't, dear, confess. And please don't tell me. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind up, we'll never get started. And I don't want to wind up being parted, broken hearted. So if you really love me, say yes. But if you don't, dear, confess. And please don't tell me. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. Perhaps, 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 perhaps.
Very nice to Doris Day, and perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. I'm laughing because I'm just looking at the Facebook page, Friends Who Like Angel Radio, and Linda has posted two pictures, one of Ed Sheeran and one of a cat. And the cat looks exactly like Ed Sheeran. And I don't know, it's just making me laugh for some reason. The look of disgust in the cat's face is very funny indeed. The look of Ed Sheeran's face, well, he just looks like Ed Sheeran, always looks like a little bit astounded. Linda, well done. Just wanted to let you know, it made at least, I'm sure it made a load of people laugh, but it at least made me laugh. Very funny indeed. Thank you so much. Talking of comedy, we'll be having some comedy coming up in about 4 minutes' time. In fact, right after Perry Como. So, Perry, get your vocal cords going.
Wanted someone who kissed me and held me closely, then stole my heart. Wanted someone I trusted, who gave no warning we'd ever part. She was last seen hiding out in someone's arms. He knew nothing of the danger in her charms.
A jury may find her guilty, but I'd forgive her if I could see
a signed confession that she's repented and really wanted no one but me. Wanted someone who kissed me and held me closely, then stole my heart. Wanted someone I trusted, who gave no warning that
that we'd ever part.
She was last seen hiding out in someone's arms. He knew nothing of the danger in her charms.
A jury may find her guilty, but I'd forgive her if I could see a signed confession that she's repented and really wanted no one but me.
Very nice to Barry Como with Hugo Winterhalter's orchestra, and chorus to boot as well, and a song called Wanted. You're listening to Beagle at Night with me, RB, and it's time for some comedy now, and I'm not quite sure exactly what we're going to do this week, but I'll figure it out as as time goes on. We start off, I do know, however, with Kenneth Williams.
Well, hello, me dearios. Well, tonight I shall have great pleasure, but first of all... I'd like to sing you a few songs. So loosen your grassets, traddle your thrums, let your bossocks down, and away we go. Now, first, here's something I picked up down under, and tis an Australian outlaw's song, and tells of a squatter in the outback. Camping by a billabong. And the billabong reports him to the police. And up come the troopers, and they catch him having a jumbuck in his... in his tucker bag. Well, that's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. So anyway, as they bind his polyps and carry him off, he sings this haunting lament. Once long ago, in the shade of a gooly bush, toasting his splod by the faggot's gleam, rested a gander man a-nobbling at his woggling iron. And stuffing a sheep in the old mill stream. Then up come the troopers and hung him by the billabong. They twisted his woggle irons, one, two, and three. Now his ghost sits and moans as it grunges in his gander can. Old Kama woggling his jumbuck with me.
Love is where you find it, providing, of course, you know where to look. And what can start as a casual friendship can blossom into a great romance, given the right location. For instance, on a boat.
Oh, Charles, you startled me, creeping up on me like that.
Did I, Fiona?
Yes, you gave me a turn.
Did I? Oh, it must be my turn next. I was just taking a little stroll. It's terribly romantic, isn't it? The moonlight glinting on the water. Look, Fiona, up there. Vast, almost frighteningly vast, and dark. I wonder if there's intelligent life up there.
Up there, Charles?
Not up my nose.
Oh,
Up there, Fiona. The sky. All those stars, they're shining just for us. See them reflected in the water. There, the plough. There, Orion's belt. And just below it, Orion's trousers. There, what seems to be the bear. And there, what looks like a dead moggy.
Oh, it is, Charles. Oh, I feel they're all there, just for us. With the exception of the dead moggy, of course.
Of course. Love is so many things, Fiona. It's wanting and needing and feeling and searching and losing and finding, hoping and dreading and wanting to need and needing to want. And
don't speak, Charles. Not for a moment.
Why not?
I want to get a word in. Oh, I love you, Charles. Breathlessly, hopelessly, tenderly, despairingly, longingly, meltingly. It's a wordless love, Charles.
We are both lost, Fiona. Lost in each other's arms, fumbling in the dark. Fumbling for the right words. Oh, Fiona, kiss me.
Not here, Charles. People will see.
I don't care about people.
All right, come in, number 13. Your time's up. The park's closing in 5 minutes.
Come along, Fiona. You paddle, I'll steer.
Now, I must confess that I too have succumbed to the craze for bodybuilding, and so, when I saw an advertisement in my copy of the Medical Cummerbund Exchange and Mart, well, I buy it for the What's Wrong With This Picture competition. Anyway, I saw this advertisement which read, "Do you want bulging biceps and massive lallies? Apply to body boner inventors of the lightning method." And I hurried over to the address in Chelsea straight away. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Judy, and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello.
Thank you.
Yes, we are your actual physical culturists.
Yes.
Boner bods.
Yes.
Yes, we... No, we've got cups for it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, go on.
I was Mr. Marine Commando Club in 1966.
True.
And Sand was placed in the Mr. Universe Balls Pond Road contest.
Yes, you? Yes.
Well, you certainly are a remarkable pair of specimens.
Mm, thanks, yes. Take your shirt off, Jewel. Go on, take them off.
What?
Go on, show Mr. Orne your rippling physique.
Oh, no, I don't like
Get it off! Go on! No time for modesty. It's his modesty that lets him down,
no,
honestly.
Don't.
He'd be Mr. Universe today, only he was too embarrassed to take his pulley off. Go on, get him off. Go on, take him off.
All right!
There, look, Mr. Orne. Look, vard that great butch Lou Coddy. Yeah. Now, ripple your muscles, Jewel. Go on. Ripple your muscles. Oh. He does it to music, Mr. Orne.
Oh.
Like that chap on Opportunity Knocks, you know.
Well, put the record player on, then.
All right, put the record player on. Right. Go. Go on, Jewel. That's right, Jewel. Yeah. Wasn't it good?
All right?
Yeah. Nice. Yes. Shake him about. Oh, look at his metatarsals going like the clappers. Oh, look at his triceps going. It's as if they've got a life of their own, isn't it? Oh. Now your lallies, Jewel. Your lallies. Quiver your lallies for the gentleman. He's got fuse on him like a Percheron he has. Now, all together, fantabulosa!
There, well, what do you think?
Well, very impressive.
Yeah, of course, he didn't come overnight. No, he had to work on it.
Yes.
He had to work hard.
Yeah. I used to be a right puny little homie.
Puny?
Mm.
Puny he was.
Had lallies like a flamingo.
Yeah.
Shoulders, narrow shoulders.
Yes, like a gnome he was. Like a little white gnome. Yes, he had to cross his braces, keep his trousers out.
It's true.
Gnome. Bit... White gnome, you were.
Mm. No, a pale little eek.
Pale eek, yes.
Lifeless, lifeless riot.
He was a wallflower, Mr. Orne, but now he's a hardy annual,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, thanks to sand and his method.
Thank you, dear.
Not at all.
Nice.
Credit where credit is due,
Arthur. Right so.
He showed me his dynamic tension, and overnight I came the great butch hear me, you Vardenhausen.
Show him your two-handed snatch, Jewel.
Hey?
One. Mr. Orne, Mr. Orne.
Yes?
See that barbell over there?
Yeah.
See that barbell? Jewel is going to lift that barbell above his head.
Cool.
Go on.
Just put some resin on my hand.
Put his resin on. Put his resin on his hands.
Oh.
Go on. Go on. Right.
Right. Here goes.
Yes. Oh, listen to breathing there. Oh, look, he's got it up past his knees. Look, look at the way he's lifting that barbell.
Yeah.
Look.
His eek showing the strain.
Yes. The barbell's over his head.
I can't hold it any longer. Oh. What should I do with it?
Ring it.
Oh, all right.
We always have... yeah, we always have drinkies about this time.
You rang, Master Jewel?
Yes, Gordon. 3 pints of cream de menthe.
Yes, and put a head on mine.
Yes.
Righto.
That's Gordon, you see. He helps us out. He's sort of masseur. Mm. He'll give you a good pummeling, I'll tell
you. As soon as look at you.
He's a rough diamond, Mr. Orne, but underneath, he's rough diamond, but underneath, I mean, deep down inside.
He's absolute rubbish.
Well, he's not my friend.
Well.
You brought him here.
Down on his luck.
Down on his luck, was he?
Mm. I'm like that. I can't turn a stranger away.
You can say that again. You can't. Yes, and you won't find anyone stranger than Gordon. No, but seriously, he is a certified psychopath.
Mm. Don't you mean osteopath?
We know Gordon better than you do. Now, about our course, are you going to enrol?
Well, what actually does it entail?
Well, our 7-day method is a way of life. Of course, you have to give up things.
Well, what things?
Well, smoking, drinking, eating solid foods, and polone.
You'll have to give them all up.
Well, why?
7 days with us, you won't have the strength for them.
Whatever the joys of a vagrant life, most of us want a place of our own.
Happy, darling.
I'd be happy anywhere with you, Charles.
Oh, Fiona, I know it's not what you're used to. It's terribly cramped and bulky, but it's ours.
It's home, Charles.
And don't spare the horses.
Charles, I love you when you're brittle.
You know, I'd do anything to make you happy, darling. Oh, I know it may be hell for you living here, but we're very lucky to get this place.
Living here, we're never lonely. Always people popping in. I don't mind during the day. It's company for me. But at night, Charles, there are no curtains at the windows, and the lights always on.
Yes, it's not easy for us, but what can you do when you're living in a telephone box? Kiss me, Fiona.
Oh, Charles.
I say, we've hit the jackpot.
Well, girl, here we are at the end of yet another ripe, fruitful term at Staddlestone. It's been an undistinguished term in many ways. Several girls have sat for scholarships, but alas, nothing has come of it. The lacrosse team has done all and more than was expected of it. 7 matches have been lost, and 2 matches were scratched. Well, now, I'm glad the games have been flourishing so, because, as I always tell you, life's a game. However, there's one little matter I feel I must mention. One of our number has not been quite pulling her weight. I don't know why it is, but there it is. Maybe she's not been feeling up to the mark. A bit peaky, perhaps, out of sorts, I don't know. Now, I'm not going to name that girl. She knows who she is. I've had to pull her up once or twice about it. Now, Betty Harrison, dear, don't giggle like that and don't nudge your neighbor. Ruth! Ruth! Stop it, dear, this instant. I will now announce the result of this term's good conduct marks. I name first Thurza Henderson. Well done, Sartha dear. Clap her, girls. Jolly fine show, dear. Second place is secured by Helen Gray. You would have been first, Helen dear, but for your tiresome habit of talking with your mouth a chock-a-block. The geography prize goes to Blanche McDermott, who did us that wonderful coloured map of the Malay states, and who can now say all the towns of China in one breath. Well done, Blanche dear. Peg away at it, and who knows where you land. At the end of last term and during the holidays, we had, as you know, infinite trouble with the drains. I had Mr. Spout over from Hinton, and he reported the discovery of quantities of sweet pudding just below the upper conduit, 5 feet short of our second sewer. Now, if any girl can throw any light on this tiresome affair, will she please make a clean breast of it, keep a stiff upper lip, and come and see me after fire drill? Many of our old girls are doing sterling work in the service of this wonderful empire of ours, and it will not be a surprise to many of those who knew her to hear that very old Throbbit took 7th place in her domestic science potato exam. I wrote to congratulate her in the name of Saddlestones, and also to Ruth Jordan, who got a diploma for her raspberries. And finally, may I say, that the Grace Darling Medal goes to Hilda Duggleby, who dealt so courageously with the cow that was being thoughtless on the croquet lawn. Well, girls, that concludes the school news. We'll just finish off with the school song. Miss Smith will give us the note. Delia, please. Got it, girls. Arm it, sing it, let it ring. Every word a jewel. Play up, Saddlestone girls, whether it's rain or fine. Play up, though your head whirls, a stitch in time saves 9. Don't forget your crucian, let the wheels run through. Play up, Saddlestone girls, we're proud of you. Play up, play up, play. Hold it, Betty. Up!
Women play an important part in medical research, if only behind the scenes, and many films have been made which depict love blossoming among the test tubes and specimen jars. Now, one such film was The Wayward Streptococcus, starring Dame Celia Molestrangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback.
Charles, are you still experimenting?
Yes, Fiona. I must carry on. I think I stumbled on something big. Very big indeed.
You must rest, Charles. You can't keep driving yourself like this.
I can't give up now. It's all I live for. I think I've hit on something. Look through this microscope.
In here, Charles?
Yes, at these slides.
Good heavens, Charles. It's me on a donkey at Margate.
And here, look. See? Hundreds of them.
They're terribly, terribly small, Charles.
You can't see them with the naked eye, but for years I've known they were there.
Bacteria, Charles?
No, thanks, not while I'm working. There. See? Just an ordinary piece of Gruyere cheese.
But I don't understand. What are you doing with it?
It's an experiment, Fiona. Watch. I do this, and this, and that.
Don't do that, Charles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do this then.
That's better.
Then I take it so and I hold it over the Bunsen burner. Now, do see what I've been up to all these years.
Oh, Charles, you've done it at last. One day, millions of people will recognize your achievement.
Yes, Fiona, I shall be known as the man who discovered Welsh rarebit.
On your old Valve wireless and your new digital radio, and computers, laptops, worktops, iPads, earpads, knee pads, mobile phones, headphones, saxophones, Wi-Fi radios, hi-fi radios, high-priced radios, low-priced radios. The fabulous sound of Angel Radio.
You Said It with Ben Selvin and his orchestra, vocals coming from Paul Small and Helen Rowland. And before that, lots of comedy. Hope you enjoyed it. Started off with Kenneth Williams and Song of the Australian Outlaw. Then we had Charles and Fiona on the boat. Charles, of course, Hugh Paddock, and Fiona, the great Betty Marston. And then Bodybuilders from Julian and Sandy, Hugh Paddock and Kenneth Williams once again. Then we had some more Charles and Fiona in a phone box. Then the great Charles, Arthur Marshall and the Headmistress. And we finished off with Wayward Streptococcus again from Hugh Paddock and Betty Marston. And we'll have some more coffee. We'll have some more comedy around about the same time next week. I'll see if I can say my words correctly whilst you're listening to Fred Astaire with Johnny Green and his orchestra, The Never Gonna Dance.
Oh, I'm left without a penny. The wolf was discreet. He left me my feet and soul. I put them down on anything but the La Belle. A perfectly swell romance. Never gonna dance, never gonna dance. only gonna love, never gonna dance. Have I a heart that acts like a heart, or is it a crazy drum beating the weird tattoos of the St. Louis Blues? Have I two eyes to see your two eyes, or see myself on my toes dancing on radios for Major Edward Bowes? Though I'm left without a penny, the wolf was discreet. He left me my feet, and so I put them down on anything but the La Belle, La Perfectly Swell Romance. Never gonna dance, only gonna love, never gonna dance. I'll put my shoes on beautiful trees. I'll give my rhythm back to the breeze. My dinner clothes may dine where they please. For all I really want is you, and two Groucho Marx I give my cravat, two Harpo goes my shiny silk hat, and to heaven I give a vow to adore you. I'm starting now to be much more positive that I'm left without a penny, the wolf was not smart. He left me my heart, and so I cannot go for anything but the La Belle, La Perfectly Swell Romance. Never gonna dance, never gonna dance, only gonna love you, never gonna dance.
That's from a film of some sort, but for the life of me, I can't remember what it is. Fred Astaire and Johnny Green and his orchestra from 1936, and Never Gonna Dance. And that's just about it. Got one more song to go, and if you would like a song in next week's show, please do just email me. Let me know what it is that you'd like to hear, and I will be very happy to fit it in. And if you want dedication or anything like that around it, of course, more than happy to do that. But if you just want to send a list of songs, as a lot of people do, I'm very happy to receive it, and you can do that by just sending me the list, roy@angelradio.uk. And I think we've done pretty well with Angel Radio's brief to play music from the 20s through to the end of the 60s this week. Our last song is, in fact, is going to be from 1969. So you can't do much better than that, especially since it comes from Nana Mouskouri. But before all of that, my thanks to you for listening. And I will be back around about the same time next week when we get to do it all again. Until then, may I be the first to wish you a very good morning.
The first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes. The
Mike, a man.